the verses we've read together from your word, the book of Daniel, and pray that you will give us ears to hear what you're saying to us this morning through your word, and a response of faith to all that you say to us and are doing within us individually and together at Bethania Baptist. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may remember last week we looked at the sort of final bit on Nebuchadnezzar, who seemed very slow to learn the fact that God is God and there's no one else worthy of our worship. And finally, he bowed the knee. But a successor, his son, Belshazzar, possibly his grandson, seems to have jettisoned everything that his father might have learnt about God and is going his own way once again. It's so important to learn the lessons of the past, isn't it? Big mistake here. This world leader failed to understand what God had shown his father. But it's so important to grasp the lessons of history. I had the privilege when I was living in Cardiff of, on an annual basis, going to the Holocaust Memorial Service held in the center of Cardiff. And I was stunned year in, year out by the stories of Holocaust survivors, some of whom were actually there present. They were babies at the time on the way to Auschwitz. And by a miraculous intervention, God stepped in and their lives were saved. But we must never forget the atrocities of the past. Never forget the horrors, the terror of what people have done on the face of this planet. And remember that our God reigns. Now in this chapter 5 of Daniel, it's as though God had never spoken through Daniel previously. All those great prophecies, those great majestic interventions at high leadership level that Daniel was privileged to bring, seem to have been forgotten by this new world leader, Belshazzar. Just wallowing in his own splendor, arrogance. There was desecration. He had stolen some of the special items from the temple of God, transported them to his own area in his own palace, and mockingly used them to worship his many gods. Blasphemous. Blasphemous. Blatant challenge to God's power and authority. We see that in our world today, don't we? There are people who think they are supreme as rulers. No one can touch them. No one can defeat them. We've seen them through history. Hitler being just one example, who fought themselves beyond any law. Remember, we said last week, the Word of God says about our God, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Why does he allow some evil dictators to have airspace? I don't know the answer to that. He is a majestic and a great God, but I do know he'll always have the final word. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Well, here's Belshazzar reveling in his own greatness, and there was violation of the first four commandments in his partying. The word of God says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any idol. You shall not misuse the Lord's name. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. There he was, declaring himself as a god. There he was, thinking he's the world's supreme being. Total disregard. The Japanese emperor, during World War II, proclaimed that the war was between the Japanese god Emeritus and the God of the Christians. That's a violation of the first commandment. Hitler predicted that later history would record him as a god. That's what he said. Violation of the second commandment. During much of the last century, communism denied the very existence of God, but the writing was going to be on the wall, literally, for Belshazzar. That's where the expression comes from. Have you used the expression, the writing's on the wall? Yeah, you can see what's coming to you, the writing's on the wall. This is where it comes from, Daniel 5. Reveling in his own splendor, proud of his own achievements, total disregard for all that his father and grandfather had learnt about bowing the knee before the Almighty God. Total disregard. There he is, wallowing in his own splendor, and the writing comes on the wall. What are the signs that precede God's national or global intervention into world affairs? What do we see happening? What are the signs? Well, one of them is right here for us in Daniel 5, when there is blatant disregard for God in the corridors of power, God will say, enough. The line will be towed. The statement will be made, and he will have his way. He is God. And I'm waiting for the moment in our current situation when the Lord might say, enough. And something will happen. I hope and pray it'll be through diplomacy and sensible discussion, but it might not be. Something will happen where God will reveal his hand. I don't think our UK governments in the devolved nations are in this position at the moment. I don't think there's blatant disregard in the corridors of power of Westminster and in Scotland and Northern Ireland and Wales. But sometimes we're not too far from it. And God will say when his time comes, enough. Examine the scene here. Belshazzar is throwing a banquet. Most likely just to show off, show his achievements, show his great wealth and position. The venue, the walls were covered with sculptures and sumptuous decorations, writing tablets of the flattering achievements of Belshazzar, all boosting his ego. There he is, reminded about how great he is. Nobody dare say a word against him because they'd lose their life. And the overall message is, don't mess with Belshazzar. Don't mess with Belshazzar. To further humiliate one of the conquered nations, he brought the gold goblets taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem and used them to become drunk in the reveling with all of his servants and his officers, flexing his despotic muscles. Can I put it crudely? Raising two fingers to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. No one can get away with that. Belshazzar is saying, I control this God of Judah. And there are people in this world who rise to that ridiculous position where they say, there's no one greater than me. There's no one more powerful with greater authority or can do much more to control people's lives than I can. But our God reigns. The message of God will find its way into the corridors of power at the right time. And this is the key. God allows things to go on for a certain period of time because remember, he's a God of love who loves people. He loves everybody, but he will only allow the rule of evil for a certain season, and then he intervenes and then he speaks. Timing is important and vital in prophetic ministry. God speaks. And he acts at just the right time. Watch the news carefully. There'll be something happening. You'll be able to say, yes, that is God saying, enough. I'm intervening. Let me share you a personal experience. On the 22nd of April in 2018, I received a prophetic word in season. The timing was perfect. I'd been preaching at a church in Swansea one Sunday morning, and after the service, the leader of the church came up to me and he said, Elvid, I've got a prophetic word for you. I don't know what it means, But I'm going to give it to you in detail. Now, he didn't know that we as a family were facing one of the most difficult times we have faced for many, many years through difficulties one of our children were having. And this was the prophecy. A strong steel door is ahead of you, potentially in the way. But the Lord will move you through it. The Lord will give you a spine of steel to enable you to move through more challenging circumstances. And it couldn't have been more relevant for us. We were heartbroken by what was happening. I won't go into details, but we were heartbroken. We were thinking, how on earth can we survive this together? But by the grace of God, we did. And this was the prophecy that helped us through it. The message will find its way in the corridors of power, in the right time. The impact of the word in season is startlingly powerful, as it was for Belshazzar. There's often a physiological response to God speaking prophetically directly to us. And this was the case with Belshazzar. God was about to speak into his life through the writing on the wall, and he could never have anticipated beforehand just how much that intervention would mean in his own life. He was used to controlling everything himself. He was the most supreme person in the world at the time, the highest ranking world power. He had people who would beckon to his every call and act on his every wish. And he was affronting God directly. There he is, wallowing, celebrating, drinking, being told how wonderful and marvelous he is. There's no one like you, Belshazzar. When his life takes a sudden turn in a different direction. And resistance to God's prophetic intervention is futile. He's puzzled. What on earth do I do? The queen says, remember Belshazzar, your father? Remember those lessons of the past? Remember this man, Daniel, who's a servant of the holy gods, using her own expression? He's the one who can tell you what this means. And of course, Daniel is able to do that. God is able to utilize the right people with the right gifts at the right moment to change the direction of world powers. And I'm praying that the Church of Jesus Christ will be saying and doing the right thing at the right time in our current global conflict, whereby the church would take its role of speaking prophetically. And the prophecy is given in verses 22 to 30. God is a God of patience and gives opportunity for changing our direction. And he's saying to Belshazzar, because you set yourself against the Lord of heaven, because you desecrated God's holy utensils, because you did not humble yourself, because you did not honor God who holds your life in his hand, therefore the writing is on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, peres. God is speaking. What is God saying to Russia at the moment? What is God saying to many despotic rulers who never make the news headlines but who are responsible for the deaths of many hundreds of people, or tyranny? What is God saying? He's saying, mene, mene, tekel, peres. It's not without prior warning. It's not without the Lord giving an opportunity for people to turn their lives around, because our God wants all men everywhere to repent. Never give up praying. Never give up sharing your faith. Never give up seeking the Lord, even in dark and dire circumstances. Never give up when everything seems to be against you and all of your circumstances seem to be bad ones. When every family member you have the privilege of having contact with seems to be going through a difficult time. When your own health is at risk. When your own mental state maybe is in a poor condition. Never give up, because our God is sovereign, and he answers prayer. That very night, verse 30, when Belshazzar, who was celebrating his supreme reign over the entire planet, as he would have thought at the time, he was the global world ruler who could do whatever he wanted to do with no regard for anybody else. That very night, Belshazzar is murdered by Darius the Mede, who takes over his kingdom. And Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian, who was to follow, were the leaders who gave permission for the people of God who'd been taken into captivity into Babylonia to go back to their homeland and to rebuild their temple and to honor the name of their God once again. From Belshazzar, I'm the supreme ruler, to Darius and Cyrus, actually, we recognize the God of the Jews, and we're going to send them back home. Our God can change global affairs in a moment and in a statement, because this is the power of our God. The tyrannical reign of Belshazzar ended abruptly. And Daniel, what happened to him? Well, he was, verse 29, clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom 50 years after he'd been taken into captivity as a teenager. This is an outstanding man of God. This is us as we stand in faith and never give up. As we press on and pray through the most difficult circumstances, whether it's health, whether it's family relationships, whether it's tyranny, as we're seeing in the Ukraine at the moment, whatever it is, our God has the last word. Who would have ever thought, 50 years previously, Daniel the teenager, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all snatched away from their parents and their homeland, taken, brainwashed, taught a different language, given special food to eat, told that they would serve unreservedly the rulers of a foreign empire? Who would have dreamt 50 years later that Daniel would be clothed in purple, have a gold chain, and be the third highest ruler in the entire kingdom? This is our God. With faith and expectation, let's pray on through our current world conflict. Let's pray on through our personal, more local conflicts. Let's pray through our struggles that we're having individually with our own faith sometimes, perhaps, or with our own well-being and health in mind and body and spirit. Let's remember that our God reigns. That's the story of Daniel. Our God reigns. King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the powerful example of Daniel and his friends. A man for whom life was not easy, but a man who had faith in you and remained true to you and obedient to you. And Lord, it's our prayers we gather as Bethania Baptist that you will help each of us, members of the church family, to remain true to you and true to all that you've given us as gifts and personalities and a contribution to the building up of your church. Help us to remain faithful. And when we meet our Belshazzars, when we meet those who seem to tower over us with authority and tell us what to do, and it's frightening and it's scary, Lord, help us to hold on to the call we have to be true to you. Whatever battles we're facing at the moment, whatever struggles we have, may we stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray that for the lovely members of the Leastwood communities. We pray that your great gospel would be heard and understood and be responded to by the dear people of Leastwood, who will meet you, Lord, who will know you as their Savior and their Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.